verse, full atonement. Can it be? You better believe it. It's full. I want you to turn with me now to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. The word Genesis means beginning. The very beginning of it all. Genesis chapter 7. I want you to read with me one verse. Genesis 7. Let's look at verse 23 together. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things, the fowl of the heaven, they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. Now, everyone in here, as most everyone throughout the world, has heard of this story. I don't know if everyone has read the story, but most everyone has heard of this story about this man named Noah building a boat and rounding up all of the animals and putting them on the boat, and the rains coming, flooding the earth, destroying all man except those in that boat. And like so many Bible stories, I should say Bible truths. This is more than a story, this is the truth. But like so many Bible truths, this is made fun of. It's made light of. The flood, men love to make fun of Adam and Eve in the garden, don't they? That is the object of mockery and laughter everywhere. People love to show these little pictures of a man and a woman, you know, with fig leaves and all, and her taking a bite and waiting on the whatever. They love to make fun of that. And the second most made fun of, if you will, story is this one right here. They love to depict and parody and TV and in their advertisements and all, this bearded man with a little boat and all of these animals. You know, you've seen it. You've seen it everywhere. They love to mock and make fun of it. But do you know, did you read with me over there to 2 Peter 3? That was written a long time ago. Peter, through the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, said that that's the way to be. He said they'll come, and they'll be willingly ignorant. They'll make fun of it. They'll mock. They'll scoff. They'll make fun of it. Willingly ignorant of creation, that is Adam and Eve. Willingly ignorant of the flood, Noah, a little boat. Men love to make fun of that, don't they? They love to mock and laugh at these things. But you know something? Just as God said that, just as God said that that people would react that way. I read over here where it says God's going to do some laughing. Proverbs chapter 1, you want to look it up sometime, it says this. I'm reading directly from the Bible here. Proverbs chapter 1 begins at verse 25 and says, "Now you set at naught my counsel." This is God talking here. He says, "You set at naught my counsel, and would none of my reproof." In other words, the warnings, just like the people back in Noah's day laughed at Noah, people are laughing now at Noah and at us. Hell's fire and damnation preaching, you know, old fashioned, I don't need that. But God said, "You've said it not, all my counsel, all the word of God." He said, "And would none of my reproof." He said, "I'm going to laugh." God says, I also will laugh. You're laughing now, I get the last one. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me. They'll start hollering on God, or to God, and calling on Jesus, Muhammad, whoever they can call on. But I will not answer. God says, they'll seek me early, and they won't find me. They hated knowledge. They would none of my counsel, despised all of my reproof. Words, counsel, reproof, warning from God Almighty, yet men scoff at it and mock these things as being ridiculous, old-fashioned, and archaic. We're too smart, we're too civilized, we're too technological, we're too smart for this sort of old-fashioned foolishness. Well, God said you'd say that. Turn with me, keep your place there in Genesis, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Now, I'm not pointing at you per se. When I say you, I say all men by nature. I hope you don't react that way. I hope the people under the sound of my voice don't feel that way about these things. But look at Matthew 24. They scoffed at Noah's warning. Noah was a preacher. The Scripture says Noah was a preacher. And there's nobody scoffed at and laughed at more now than a preacher. And I have to admit, here I go again. Most of them are very laughable. They deserve to be laughed at. And much worse. They ought to be tarred and feathered and run out of town. But they scoffed at Noah. Noah was a preacher of what? Righteousness. Now, he was a different sort of preacher. And God's true preachers now, they're different sorts of preachers. They're preachers of righteousness. Not their own, not our, your own, but somebody else's. All right, they scoffed at Noah, a preacher, until the rains came. Then they quit scoffing, didn't they? When those first big drops, big as a 50-cent piece, hit them on the head, they thought, maybe there's something to this. Well, listen to another preacher. Jesus Christ was a preacher. My. Listen to this, verse 37. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, that is, the second coming of Christ. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they didn't know until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. As I've said so many times, there's nothing wrong with eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. That should go without saying. You've got to eat and drink to live. Don't we? Marriage is ordained of God. Nothing wrong with those things. What he's saying there is that things are going to keep going on like they always have gone on. People are going to be doing the same things they've been doing and not give God a thought. Not give Christ a thought until the day that comes as a thief at night when they least expect it. Like the rain. They heard a rumble, a thunder, and felt some drops. They'd never heard it before. It never rained on the earth before Noah's, before the flood. It never rained. They weren't expecting, never seen it before, never heard it. They didn't believe it. It's never rained fire before. We weren't expecting it. We don't believe it, do we? God said it's going to happen. And they scoffed at Noah, and Christ said the same thing's going to happen in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, back to Genesis chapter 7. Turn back there. As in the days of the flood, that was the judgment of God upon this world. He said, so shall the coming of Jesus Christ be. And let me tell you, it's going to be the same way now. The only place of safety. Back then, during that flood, there was only one place you could go to get out of the rain. It's only one place that a man, a woman, an animal, anybody was safe from that judgment. Where was that? A child knows. In the ark. Right? In the ark. Well, look at Genesis 6 with me. And even so, the only place of safety for any human being is in Jesus Christ. This ark represents Christ. Now, the world was a very wicked place. Here in Genesis 6, it tells us that it was a very wicked place. just as it is now. I don't think that it was any more wicked back there in Sodom than it is in, say, San Francisco or Los Angeles or New York City. I really don't. I don't think it was any more wicked. Matter of fact, I think it's more so now. I think it's more widespread. Same thing. They say that 1/3 of the population of San Francisco is homosexual. It's a very wicked place back there during the flood, as it is now. And this man Noah, it says that Noah was a little different. Noah was a little different. How's that, preacher? Well, Noah wasn't different in himself, but Noah was considered different by God. Let's look at it. Genesis 6, verse 5. It says, "Now God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually," every day. Now let me just stop there a second and ask you all to be honest with yourself. How much of the day goes by, your thoughts, how many thought processes go through your head that aren't evil? Huh? Not very many, if any at all. This is an indictment against us, isn't it? Isn't it? We wake up in the morning with just gutter thoughts. We go to bed, you know, the same thing. And all through the day, we're plotting, we're planning our course of worldliness or whatever it may be, you know, not giving God much of a thought at all. Right? Right. "And it repented the Lord," verse 6, "that he had made man on the earth." No, God's not a man that he should repent, or that is, change his mind, but he's talking in man's language here. He's trying to show us that he's going to wipe this thing out. Doesn't deserve to live. "And the Lord said," verse 7, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, the fowls of the air. It repents me that I have made them." It repents me. But Noah found grace. You see, Noah was no different than anybody else. Oh, yeah, he was. Look at verse 9. It says, Noah was a just man, perfect. Noah walked with God. Why? Who made Noah different than anybody else? 1 Corinthians 4:7. Who made Noah to differ from Joe Snow over here, who was a wicked, ungodly, about to perish? Who made him different? Who made Noah different? Noah grew up there, went through the same things everybody. What made Noah any different? He found grace. You see, grace comes before these other things, right? He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Does that mean he went looking for it? No, that means God went looking for him. No, God found Noah. God found Noah and gave him the gift of his grace. Salvation is by grace. By grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. Noah didn't walk with God. Noah wasn't a just man, a perfect man, because he was better than everybody else. Noah found grace. In other words, God bestowed this gift of faith. And it says Noah was a just man. That is, Noah was justified. If you got spiritual understanding, you'll understand that the just live by faith. Noah was justified by faith. Look it up in Hebrews 11. Noah was considered a perfect, that is, a holy man by God. Why? Because he was better than everybody else. Let me show you this. Look over Genesis chapter 8. In case people think, well, Noah, because Noah was a good old boy, Noah lived a good life, therefore God looked at Noah and said, well, Noah, now I'm going to destroy everybody else, but you're all right. I'm going to save you because you deserve to be saved. No. There's none good, the Scripture says. It still holds true. It held true back then as well as now. There's none good, no, not one, God said. He said they've all gone astray. That includes Noah. There's none righteous, the Scripture says, that is, holy as God. No, no, not one. Right? Look at it here in Genesis 8. Look at verse 20. It says, Noah built an altar unto the Lord. As soon as he got off that boat, he built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, that offering. That's a picture of Christ, his sacrifice. The Lord said in his heart, I will not again. Now look at it very carefully with me. God said, now this is after the flood, the only people around now were Noah and his boys and their wives, his wife. God said, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For, the word there is although, even though the imagination of man's heart is, present tense, evil from his youth. Who was around then? He'd already killed everybody else. Noah. Noah in himself was a sinner like everybody else, but Noah found grace, sovereign grace bestowed upon him. Noah didn't earn it. Noah didn't deserve it. God just said, I'm going to make you a vessel of mercy. A vessel of mercy fitted for honor. All right? Now, back at the text again, Genesis 6. Noah found grace. He found grace. Look at verse 17 with me. Genesis chapter 6, verse 17. And God said to Noah, God revealed to Noah his salvation. Here's where he really found grace. God revealed his salvation to him. This is where grace is found. God is gracious. God is gracious in giving a lot of things to all of creation. But God's real grace, his saving grace, is in revealing his Son, Jesus Christ, to some people. And it's said that God did this for Noah. He said, behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under the heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. Look at these next words. Thou shalt come to the ark. Terry, he said that a long time before he seemingly asked him to come in, didn't he? Didn't he? Isn't that the covenant of grace? God says, I will, and you shall. That sounds kind of like election to me. Doesn't it, you? I'm going to destroy and kill everybody else, but not you, Noah. Not you. And you're going to get in the boat. You ain't going to miss the boat. You're going to get in. I'm going to make sure you get in the boat. With you is my covenant. That sounds like election to me. And God instructed Noah about this boat, about the building of this boat and so forth. Now let's look at this boat. Look real carefully with me at this boat, this ark. This ark. Look back at chapter 14 with me. This is more than a boat, folks. I'm telling you, this is more than a... This is not a Bayliner. This ain't no Chris Craft. I wonder where that name came from, anyway. Chris Craft. This craft is Christ. That's what this is. This is more than just an old boat. This is more than just an old story of a bearded man. This is a story of Jesus Christ and salvation. More than a boat. More. Because you know why? Because in this boat, there was none other boat given among men whereby they must be saved. And I tell you what, there's none other name, no other religion, no other way under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That at the name of Jesus Christ, the ark, we'll be saved. That ark is Christ. It is Christ. Look at it with me. I want you to see this fashion of it. Verse 14. What it was made of. It says, God said to Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Gopher wood. Wood. That is it was going to be a vessel out of earthen materials, right? An earthen vessel. An earthen vessel. The scripture says we have this treasure, this gospel treasure in what? Earthen vessels, the scripture says. Or rather, an earthen vessel. We have this treasure, John, in a body, in a person, in a man. You see, God Almighty took a body, took a vessel. He became an ark of safety. God was born of a woman made under the law to redeem them that were under the curse of the law. God took a body, and in him, somehow, we're going to see this in a minute, in this man, in this vessel, is all the mercy and the grace and the salvation of God to be found. In this man, this ark called Christ. All right, it was also made with rooms.
There was room in the ark.
Verse 14. There was room in the ark. I like that too.
Lots of rooms.
There was room for all the animals that wanted to come in.
We say, that's silly animals. They wouldn't want to come in this boat.
Right you are. Somebody had to bring them in.
But you better believe there's a bunch of them want to, wasn't there, Barbara?
Two of every sort on the face of the earth. Can you imagine how many animals were in that boat? Standing room only. I tell you, but there was room. There was room. Could have been a little turtle come along, you know, and say, well, I sure would like to get on. Well, get on. The door's open. Get on. And he got on. It was room, dwelling places, provisions for all the animals. The Scripture says, in Christ are hid all the treasures. Those animals had all that they could eat for the duration. Anything they wanted to eat, well, take it back. All that they needed to eat was in that ark. They never missed a square meal, did they, Henry? All their provisions were in that ark. And the Scripture says, in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Everything you want to know, everything you need for life eternal, for this life, is in Christ. It's found in Christ. And it says, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in a body. And it says also, you're complete in Him. You're complete. You're safe. You're provided for in Christ. Look at the next thing. There was room. And God said, now, Noah, you're going to have to pitch it. Noah, you're going to have to atone it. That's what the word pitch means. Exactly what the word pitch means. Atone it. Noah, you're going to have to atone it. You're going to have to cover it within and without with pitch. With the atonement. What is that, speaking of? Is this just talking about tar? Huh? Oh, no. It's the blood that makes atonement for the soul, you see? If Noah hadn't pitched that boat, it'd have been a leaky vessel, right? Water would have come in. It thing would have perished, right? It would have fallen apart. Had it not been pitched, covered within and without from these floods, from this scourge of God's wrath. And that blood of Christ covers our sins from the all-seeing eye of this holy God. If there's a crack, if there's one sin that God's eye can see in us, we're goners. We're destroyed. But thank God it says in 1 John 1 that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all. It atones for, it covers all of our sins. All of them? You mean what I did back when I was sick? All of them. All of them? You mean what I did yesterday? All of them. All of them? You mean what I'm going to do tomorrow? All of them. Past, present, and future. I like that pitch. That blood means a whole lot more than to me than just an old story. Right? That's the pitch. That's what covers this vessel, folks. Within and without, it must be a covering for my soul. Pitched within and without. And it's also talking about the holiness of Christ. Christ was holy and inside and out. And that's what we must be. But in Christ, we are. We are, by faith. All right, now look at this. This is great. In verses 15 and 16, he starts describing the height, the depth, the breadth, the length, and the depth. Height, the breadth, the length, and the depth. And sir, you say that real fast. He starts describing how high this boat was to be, how wide it was to be, height, the breadth, the length, how long it was to be, and how deep it was to be, right? The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. And then he goes on down the last part of 16 and said, lower second, third stories, the depth of it, how deep it is. Listen to this. Oh, I wish that Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in Him, being put in Him, that you might be able to see in this ark the height, the depth, the length, the breadth. And to know the love of Christ, of God, the mercy of God in this ark. which passes mere knowledge,
filled with all the fullness of God.
All right, look at this with me. Verse 16. It says, you're going to make a window in it, Noah. Well, how about a skylight?
No.
Window.
Oh, it'd look better with a, you know, double hung Anderson over here, a multiple unit.
One window.
Noah.
One window in that ark.
What does that tell you? One window. Well, Christ said, John chapter 1 said, He was the light of the world, right? Christ is the light. He said, I am the way, I'm the truth. That means everything else is a lie. That means everything we know, everything we think is misinformation. Christ said, I'm the truth. Everything else is a lie. He said, I'm the light. All who are not in Christ, all who do not know Christ, all who do not understand Christ, who believe, do not believe in Christ, are in darkness, right? There's one window. Terry, there's only one way to understand who God is. There's only one way to see the light, and that's in Christ, who is the light. One window. Not Mohammed, not Confucius, not Buddha, not Carl Sagan, not whoever, the guru Swami Prabhupada. In Christ is all the wisdom and knowledge of God Almighty. All the understanding. Light is thought of, is referred to as the understanding. Didn't he say this? Didn't Christ say, if thine eye be single, the whole body is full of light. You see that boat, that ark, if anybody on that ark wanted to see outside, they had to go one place, to that one window. They couldn't bore a hole. They couldn't open the door. And we'll see that in a minute. One window. Look at this. And God said in verse 16 also, and make a door. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. One door. There's only one way in this ark. One way. One way in, one way out. Only one way. Didn't Christ say, I'm the door of the sheepfold? Didn't he? Didn't he say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life? Didn't he say, I'm the only entrance into life eternal? Didn't he say, no man comes unto God but by me? You can't make a way. You can't think you got a way. There's a way which seemeth right unto men, but the end is destruction. I'm sure those fellas, when it started raining, Terry, they started building them boats real fast. Wouldn't work. Only one boat with one door. There's a way which seemeth right unto men, but the end is destruction. There is one way to God, though. It is through faith in Jesus Christ. Him and Him alone. Look at verse 17. Now listen. God said, behold, I'm going to bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth. You see that? Everything that is in the earth shall die. And the first word is of the earth, earthy, right? This first vessel is earth. Everything in it is earth. But the second man is the Lord from glory. He's not of the earth. He's a spiritual vessel. Everything that is in the earth will die. But, verse 19, of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, thou shalt bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. Everything that's alive will be in the ark. Right? What a simple truth this is. Do we understand what it's saying? Everything outside of the ark was dead, even while it lived. Everything in the ark, Job, was alive and kept alive with Noah. With Noah. All in the ark. You know what the name Noah means? It means rest. When they named that boy Noah, his parent, what they named him was, God shall comfort us. I rest in our old age. And God said here to Noah, everybody in the ark with you is going to rest. be comforted when this scourge, when all this judgment comes through. And you know what? Who Christ is? He's rest. He's the ark of safety. He's our security. He's our salvation. Everybody in the ark of Christ, everybody that's in Christ shall rest, shall be comforted, shall be saved. And if we're alive, if God makes us live, quickens us by His grace, if God borns us again by His Holy Spirit, He puts us in Christ. Right? And Christ said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me." That's what He said in verse 18. You shall. Noah, you shall. Yes, you will. You'll come unto me. Shall come unto me. That's God's eternal decree. Elect in love and predestinating power. Yeah, I said it. Elect in love and predestinating power. God Almighty elected and predestinated Noah and his people to be in that boat. And every person who's going to be saved, God Almighty elects them. I know it's true because I'd never have been in the boat if He hadn't put me in. I'd have clung to this sinking vessel just as long as I could. How about you? Unless He tore my fingers loose and put me in the boat. We're going to see that here in a minute. Here's the call. He said, "Thou shalt come." The effectual call. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. The Lord said unto Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Now remember, up in verse 18, He said, "Noah, you shall come." But in time, God came to Noah and then said, "Well, Noah, come on." Noah was elected by grace before it all began. He was elected by grace, and then in time He was called by irresistible grace. Now let me ask you a question. Is there any possibility? Say, is there any possibility Noah wasn't going to get on that boat? No. No, thank God. No. And Noah said that later, thank God, didn't it? You see, the power of the call depends upon the caller, doesn't it? The power of the call depends upon the caller. Christ said in John 17:2, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Didn't He? And He said, "I will give eternal life to as many as God given unto me." Didn't He? He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and yes, on this planet. All power over all flesh." John 17:2. Now, the power depends upon the caller, doesn't it? Yes, we are called. And we call on Him. Let me illustrate this. The power depends upon the person and his authority. You see, if he's got a high enough office, if he's got enough power and authority, when he calls me, when he speaks, I jump, right? Illustrate. If I come, say you're whatever, you're jaywalking or whatever, and I see you do that, break the law, and I come up behind you and say, "Hey, stop!" Say a guy's robbing a bank, and I say, "Stop! In the name of John Smith, you stop now." John Smith, I don't know who he is. And he'll go right on, won't he? But if you let a policeman get behind that old boy with a gun in his hand, and he says, "Stop! In the name of the law!" Won't he? Now, he may go on for a while, but you better bet your bottom dollar he's going to stop eventually. Either a bullet, or he'll be made willing in the day of that boy's power. And when Christ the Spirit, when God the Holy Spirit sets His eye, His sovereign love upon somebody, you know what He does?
when they're walking and running and pursuing their wild career of sin or whatever it is, just as mad, just as fast, just as hard as they can go. You know, like the Nike commercial, life's short, live and play hard, you know. When God Almighty sets His affection on somebody, He says, Christ says, stop! Hitherto have you come no further. I know you want to go to hell, but you haven't going to do it. And He stops us. How do I know that? He stopped me. Ain't nothing and nobody could have done it but Him. You better believe it. I wasn't looking for God. You hear these silly testimonies. Yeah, I called on God. I didn't call on God. I did after He called on me. After I heard a man preach the gospel and tell me what I was and see what I was before this holy God. I didn't call on Him until then. Until God called on me and said, you are in mighty bad shape, buddy. Stop. Now come. Buddy, they come. My daughter comes when I call. And God's sons, His sheep, come when He calls. Didn't Christ say, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and I'm known of them. My sheep hear my voice and they come when I call. Every one of them. And they're all black. They're all black. Every one of them. He said, I was the black sheep of the family. So was I. Well, they were all black when He called them. But He turned them white when they got in the fold. Hail, sovereign love that first began that scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail, matchless, free, eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding, an ark, a hiding place. Against the God who rules the sky, I fought with my hand uplifted high. I despise the mention of this grace, too proud to seek this hiding place. But thus the eternal counsel ran, Almighty Lord, arrest that man. Stop him. I felt the arrows of distress and found I have no hiding place, no ark. But long a heavenly voice I heard, and mercy's angel form appeared and led me on with gentle pace. There's the ark. There's Jesus Christ, your hiding place. How can I keep on preaching to the faces of people that seem to have no interest in this gospel? Huh? I look into the faces of people. How can I preach, keep on preaching to people who go on uninterested and unmoved? Because I know that in God's good time, if it's God's will, someday He's going to say to whoever it may be,
that's all.
Now come. Quit running the other direction, and you come. Is there any possibility that they won't come? No. No. Because why? You know why? I got to hurry. I want to show you this. It said, He said, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for with thee I've seen righteous with me before this generation. That sounds to me like God was in the ark. No. Terry didn't say go, did he? He didn't say go. Noah, get in the ark. He didn't say. He said, Noah, come in the ark. God was in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5. God was in Christ reconciling the world. God was in Christ. And Christ, when He stood at that last day of the feast, He said, come unto me, all ye that are laboring and heavy laden. I'll give you Noah. I'll give you rest. God was in Christ. You see, Christ, Jesus, this man named Jesus, everybody's talking about. Everybody talks about this Jesus. Listen to me. Everybody. This man named Jesus, everybody's talking about today. There was a man named Jesus on the face of the earth, but He was more than just a man. He's more than just a man. Jesus, who walked this earth, was God. God Almighty. He was more than a man. He was God. Why did He have to be God? Because the Scripture says salvation is of the Lord. Because the Scripture said with man this is impossible. Man can't get to God. God's a spirit, we're flesh. With man, it's impossible. What's impossible? Peace with God. We just talked about a while ago how that we've broken God's law and how we've shook our fist in the face of God, given no thought to God. God's angry at the wicked every day, the Scripture says. And only God can declare peace. You hear these people, when a man dies, they say, he made his peace with God. No, he didn't. He can't do that. God's the one who's been offended. God's the one who's angry. People can't just accept God as their personal Savior. People can't make their decision for Jesus. No, he's not a man. He's God. He must decide. He must say, I accept you. Not us accepting him. We've got the cart before the horse. Yeah, we accept him after the fact of the matter when he says, I accept you. Now you will accept me, won't you? Yes, I will. Made willing in the day of his power. This peace with God. Only God can say, I've got peace with you now. Why? Because a man cleaned up his act, quit his drinking, smoking, chewing, and running around with other women to do those things? No. Because Christ made peace by the blood of his cross. Because Christ came down here and bore the sin, the penalty of that broken law that we deserve to bear. Death. Death. The soul that sinneth must surely die. Christ died for his people's sins. And God no longer sees those sins. He put them away, covered them, pitched them in the ark, in Christ. And righteousness. We must have this righteousness. He said to Noah, I've seen you righteous before me. God's got to see us righteous. God's got to see us righteous. God's got to look at me. Now, God is holy. I've got to have time for this. God is holy. They've missed it today. Say, God is love. God is love, but it's a holy love. God is holy, first of all. He loves holy things. He loves holy people. God loves holiness. The righteous Lord loveth righteousness, and his soul hates iniquity, the Scripture said. God is holy. God says, be ye holy, I'm holy. I won't have anything to do with anything or anybody that's not holy like me, righteous like me. How are we going to do that? Oh, our iniquities have carried us. We fade like the leaf. Our iniquities have carried us away. We're full of sin, evil thoughts, deeds, what have you. How are we going to be made righteous before God? Only in Christ, in the ark, considered righteous. See, everybody in that ark was considered righteous with Noah, right? Rick, he didn't say anything about anybody else, did he? He said, Noah, I've found you righteous before me. Well, what about Noah's wife and children-in-law? Well, they were with Noah, weren't they? They were considered righteous. Sammy, you're righteous and holy. Me? No, you're with Christ, aren't you? You in Christ by faith? Righteous. Righteous before God. Back to Genesis 7, one real quickly. You see, the ark bore all the judgment. All that rain, that lightning, that flood, the judgment of God upon sinful men, that ark bore it all. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says that Christ was made sin. He was made a vessel of wrath. Terry, wrath. We're made vessels of honor, of mercy. Christ was made a vessel of wrath. You ever thought about that verse in that context? He was made a vessel of wrath, fitted for what? Destruction. For our destruction. He was fitted. He said, a body you've given me. God outfitted Christ in a body to what? To do what? To take our destruction, our condemnation, our wrath. And he did it. That's why he hung on that cross. Not because he couldn't get down. Not because men put him there. But because it pleased the Lord to bruise him and make his soul a what? An offering for sin. To put away sin. The sins of his people. All of his people. And Christ bore that deluge, the wrath, the fire, the indignation of God against all of God's people's sins on himself. He took it all. That's the reason he sweat blood. Because he was made, actually made, not just the sins we've committed, but sin, that principle itself. Made it. And he bore it. Why? Because God made that ark. A man didn't make it. It was a man, you see, because of who he was God. God was in that vessel. You see, just a man couldn't have couldn't have took it, could he? You go to all the tombs everywhere of Mohammed, of Confucius, of Buddha, and all. Their bones will be there. I guarantee. No, you won't find them. They won't be there. There's nothing left of them. They've rotted. They're dust and ashes. You go to the tomb of Christ. He's not there. He's not here, the angel said. What are you looking for him here? Tear up that tomb in Jerusalem. Tear it up. Bulldoze it over. Put them all. Put something profitable there. Right? Tear it up. He's not there. God's not worshipped with men's hands. God's not in a tomb. Where is he? He's risen. We worship a living Lord. We worship Christ seated on the throne. The reason we don't have crosses and robes and all this stuff. We worship a living Lord. If they found one board. Remember when they were looking for that ark over there in Mount Ararat? If they found one board of it, they put it over in St. Peter's Basilica, and people would come and crawl on their knees and kiss that thing or something, wouldn't they? I guarantee it. That's what they've done with the Shroud of Turin. That's what they've done with everything. Guadalupe, whatever. We've got a living ark. A living Lord. And look at this. You've got to see this. Verse 16. And it says, they went in, male and female, of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. They went in. Why did Noah go in? Because God said he would. God commanded it. God said he would. In verse 18 of chapter 6, God in chapter 7, verse 1, God said, now come. God told him to, commanded him, and he went in there, and he said, you see, what God opens, no man can shut. As long as that ark was open. And folks, the ark, the gospel is still being preached right now. The ark is open. Mercy is still, God is still merciful and gracious to all that come to Him by Christ. I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm telling you better. That's what I'm saying. I'm not asking you to accept. I'm telling you better. You better get in the ark. But what God shuts, not like this. This is not just judgment. This is mercy. What God shuts, no man can open. Didn't Christ say, no man shall pluck them out of my hand? Didn't He say, no man will pluck them out of the Father's hand? In other words, when God puts one of His sheep, one of His people in Christ by faith, He said, I give unto them eternal life. How? Putting them in Christ. Putting them in Christ by faith. And He said, they'll never perish. Why? Shut the door. While that door of mercy is shut to those on the outside that they can't get in. After the door's been shut. Once He rises up again and comes back to this earth, no more mercy. But that is comforting to me to know that I'll never perish if I'm in Christ. Because He put me in. And the flood, verse 17, was 40 days upon the earth. And the waters increased. And bear up the ark. My, my. Call your babysitters and tell them we'll be a while. I'd love to go on, but we got to quit. The waters bore up the ark and lifted up above the earth. Didn't Christ say, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself, all of my people, all God's men? Didn't it say, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, whosoever looked, whosoever believed, never perished? Didn't it say, God so loved the world that He lifted up, He gave, He put His Son on a cross? Didn't it? Christ was lifted up on high. Christ was crucified, made a sacrifice, a substitute, that we might be declared righteous before Him. And all that the Father gives will come to Christ. And like I said, folks, the door of mercy, as long as this gospel is being proclaimed right now, you're under the sound of it. There's mercy. There's hope. There's still help. Don't despair, parents and loved ones. Don't despair of your... As long as this gospel is still being preached, as long as there's a place to come hear the gospel, there's hope. The door is open. But I tell you what, and I'm telling you, I implore you, I beseech you, everybody on the sound of my voice, whether it be here or by tape, come to Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. By the power of God Almighty, believe and come to Christ by faith. He's your only hope of safety, only ark of safety from that certain judgment is coming. But you'll find in Him more than just that. You'll find in Him all you ever needed or ever wanted. And if you do come, it's because God made you. If you do come in, it's because God said they will. They'll come in. Sherry, come up here and let's sing a closing hymn. Let's sing this 235. I know people sing this as an invitation hymn, but I didn't give any invitation. They sing this as an altar call. I didn't make any altar call. Hebrews 13 says we have an altar, doesn't it? But it ain't right here. He's in heaven. And I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm telling you, you better get in the ark. How? Just do it. Better come to Christ. Well, I don't understand. Just do it anyway. Come to Christ. Because He's going to pass some folks by. I want Him to pass me by. Let's stand and sing this. A couple of verses.
Ask me not, O gentle Savior, give